Today's Daily DVR is, of course, sponsored by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. All right, it's Friday. You only got a couple days left. Go to our Facebook page at Daily DVR and join in on the Super Bowl picks. You could win a pair of Cufflinks.com Millennium Falcon Cufflinks. They are so awesome. You can wear them. You can look good. You know, I was going to keep these because I have some Lego Millennium Falcons. I love Star Wars. These are the ultimate. And I'm going to be having a lot of other stuff coming up soon. I've just been talking to Cufflinks about some cool ideas I have for giveaways. So go over to that site and I want you to tell me, what do you want? What do you think that I should do a contest for Cufflinks.com? Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR. Figure it out. Email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get on with the show. Welcome back to Daily DVR, everybody. Remember, you can find us at dvrpodcast.com, on the Twitter at dvrpodcast. Join our Facebook group. We're having a lot of fun over there. Daily DVR on Facebook. And email us, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Actually, this podcast is inspired by an email by Andy. Thank you, Andy. And I have a special guest. He's on the other line, and his name is Heath Snowlow, the Bastard Podcaster.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Hi, Solo.
Thank you very much.
You doing your Andy buddy. Kaufman?
Andy Kaufman, yeah.
Hey,
I come to save the day.
Do you remember Heartbeeps?
Heart deep?
Heart beeps when Andy Kaufman is a robot with Bernadette Peters.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, man, it's so good, dude. It's one of the craziest, most interesting, weirdest movies of kind of like, I guess it was the early 80s. But
I got to check it out.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, man. Heart beeps, if anyone gets a chance. It's not streaming anywhere. But it's absolutely fantastic. I love it, man. Solo is here. We got an email. We're going to talk a little football. We're going to do our Super Bowl predictions because the Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday. And I'm not sure where I'm dropping this pod. It might be a Patreon pod. It might be a Friday pod. I'm not sure yet. We'll see where it goes. But Solo, let's do the Super Bowl stuff first.
Let's do it.
Okay. Now, we are at our streams are crossing here because your family is a New England Patriots family, correct?
Correct. My whole stinking family. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Everyone else is a Patriot fan, but I do root for the Patriots when they don't play the Cowboys, because I do love my family. I'm jealous at the run they've been on the last 19 years in the Brady Belichick era. Because before it'd be like my Cowboys would win, then the Pats made the Super Bowl, the Bears blew them out, and then in the 90s Bledsoe leads the Pats, Parcells to the Super Bowl, Packers win. So, and then if it wasn't for the Tuck Rule game against the Raiders, that was just bizarre. You know, who knows what the run would have been. But having said that, yeah, the Patriots have had a great run. So. I hate the Patriots when they play the Cowboys, but I do root for them when they're not playing them. So I'm in a tough. And then being out here with the LA Rams now, a lot of my friends are LA Rams fans out here, and that's kind of like the team to kind of get behind. But you know, I can't change my allegiance. I've been a Cowboy fan since I was 4 years old.
Yeah, I understand that. But are you rooting for the Patriots this weekend?
I am. I'm a Tom Brady worshiper. Oh. I'm even trying avocado ice cream. I'm sorry. I know you're a Jet fan. And I'm a big Tom Brady guy.
I'm a Belichick worshiper. I'm not a Tom Brady worshiper. I worship I admit with no pretense, regardless of any cheating allegations, which everybody does anyway, you all try to get an advantage. And anything he did was not like, you know, hacking their computer system. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been accused of recording like a couple practices. I mean, come on. The guy could learn more from watching a game than he could from watching a practice, you know? Like, So I think that notwithstand, I mean, that doesn't, even if you include that, Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach in NFL history, bar none. I mean, what he's done is absolutely incredible. And really, it's interesting that he's just proved that outsmarting people, that you can position, you can play football like chess.
Right.
You know, and I think it's amazing. But I'm not a Brady fan. I really, honestly, I've watched Tom Brady since day one. I was watching the game when Bledsoe went out, and which was a Jets game, right?
Yeah, it was Catch Your Jets in 2001.
Yeah, I think it was Marvin Lewis who knocked him out. I liked Bledsoe. I thought he was I thought he had improvisational skills. He was fun. I remember that 60 Minutes segment when he and his brother were calling up the bank to check that he actually had $1 million in the bank. He told this story and they were laughing and they were like, they just want to help their parent. He just wants to help his parent. He's just a good kid. And I actually was cheering for the Patriots, man, because they were bad like the Jets, Tony Eason. But Brady, I just think he's like a robot, man. I mean, he is precision. He's like a laser, you know? You can't deny that he does exactly what needs to be done. And he does improvise, too. You can't say he's, just because he doesn't run around like Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean he's not improvising, you know?
But yeah, just to imagine, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just imagine, see, the difference with Brady, he knows he can, one of the big differences coming out of college and as a quarterback and becoming a great quarterback, a pro as a quarterback, it's one of the hardest things to do because you have these big college quarterbacks who, you know, put up numbers, win the Heisman, and then they just, and you're like, why did they fizzle in the NFL? And there's different factors. Of course, you have to have the talent and, you know, the natural ability, but you also got to have the mental capacity and you got to be able to understand film, read defenses.
Yeah.
Brady knows everything that's going to happen. Him and Belichick know exactly. That's why, like Chad Ochocinco didn't last long on the Patriots because he couldn't run routes. Brady needs his guys to run the routes because he knows where you're supposed to be. And even if he's getting rushed, he knows where receivers should be. And then you got audibles and at the line, you're killing plays.
I know. So there's so much amazing. To it. And the levels, way they play levels in the offense is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's why I give the Jets. The Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan, I mean, they beat him a couple of years because they actually had the defense to hit him and to throw him off balance, and they beat him twice in the playoffs.
See,
Go ahead, buddy. People don't talk about those too much because they're in the past, and the Jets unfortunately lost in the NFC Championship both times, AFC Championship both times. But like the work Rex Ryan did against Brady, that was pretty impressive. You know, might have not been the best Pats teams, but they still, it was Brady. I mean, they were still good teams. People forget about that because they get lost in the whole Rex Ryan is this and that.
Sanchez,
but
I know.
Yeah, great, great game plans there in the past.
See, that's what I think. And looking at this game coming up, the typical thing people say is, so if you're going against like Aaron Rodgers, people be like, the cornerbacks have to hit the players on the line. You even have to let Aaron Rodgers run around a little bit. You have to cover everybody, you know, because he's going to do what he's going to do. Tom Brady, they say you have to rush Tom Brady, right? You have to put pressure on him if you pressure him. But see, I disagree. I think what Rex Ryan did is, you have to cause confusion. Tom Brady can handle pressure. He can handle guys coming up. I mean, he's been doing it for 20 years. I mean, I almost said he was the best. He's Tom Brady, you know? But I think that if McVay and not McVay, who's the defensive coordinator for the Rams? Who brought in that older guy?
Wade Phillips, former Cowboys head coach.
Wade Phillips, that big round head of his, if he can cause confusion, I think that they can get Brady. And if they can do something like take Edelman away, like how is it, Solo, that every week Edelman just goes, to the first down marker, sits, he just goes, bam, first down. It's absolutely, if they can take him away, I think they can win. I think the Rams have a chance at this game. I think it's so fun that it turned out to be these two teams because you have the, it's totally old guard versus new guard, more so than the Chiefs Saints would have been.
And that's how it was in 2001 when the Pats beat the Rams. It was Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf versus, Tom Brady, second-year quarterback, leading his team. So
and
could
Belichick
this be the changing
of the
guards?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was just a couple years. He was supposed to be the coach of the Jets and, of course, went to the Patriots. And so you got, history repeating itself in opposite ways, which is pretty amazing. And just to clarify, too, confusion to me is pressure. So you are right. That's how Belichick was able to beat Peyton Manning for so many years, confusing the hell out of Peyton when he thought.
I think it's a little different. You know?
No, because it's not just rushing the passer and hitting him. That's not what I mean. Pressure. Yes, you have to get pass rush, but there's more to it. There's your linebackers disguising coverages. The game plan. So we mean the same thing. I just say pressure. I don't think you just hit them. You just hit them. Yeah, that can work. That can stop a drive. But eventually, they're going to find a way. And that's what great coaches do and great players. That's why. But you're right, though. The confusion, and not many teams can do it or they don't have the personnel to do it. But you're right. And that's what Rex did. The confusion. With pressure, even though I kind of think it's together. You're right. Rush the passer and confuse the hell. That's why, when the Cowboys beat the Saints this year, they pressured Breeze, but they also did. Their linebackers played amazing. The D-backs played. Everyone played amazing with the game plan. So they confused them, but they also had pressure on them, and they took away Alvin Kamara. Yeah. So it was, it's a balance, but you're right. Confusion, because that's what I remember of when Manning used to lose to the Pats all the time. But with the Jets, I just felt like, it was a lot of confusion, but I just remember Brady getting hit in the teeth really a lot. So anyway, it's kind of both.
I think of that Public Enemy song. When Flava Flav says, "Confusion!" And they go, "Here come the drums." Love that song.
Can't trust us. Not an 8-track kick in the groove.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you're picking. So you want the Pats to win. Do you think they're going to win?
Man, I've been going back and forth. So it's my prediction is, my prediction is going to be history's going to reverse itself, and the Rams are going to win by a field goal, 31-28.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, this game, I really think it's really interesting. These whole playoffs have been pretty interesting, except for the...
I'm going to change it. But go. Okay. I just called it audible. Yellow, 92. Eagle. Patriots 27, Rams 21. Oh, sorry. I have to go with the Patriots. I just called an audible. I fooled you guys.
27-21. Okay. I was saying, besides that one weekend when all the home teams won, I think that this is, which I guess was a divisional round, the conference championship was up in the air. This too, I feel, especially with the way the Patriots played the two games in the playoffs, was ridiculous. I saw that Brady was only touched once by a defensive player or something, or knocked down once in two games and no sacks. It is ridiculous. And that has to come to an end. And it could, but then again, it couldn't. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea. This could be a game where the Patriots run Michelle and White, and then the Rams run. I always forget the Rams running back name.
C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley.
Okay, Anderson and Gurley. And this is like this final score is like 17-14. Or they could air it out, you know? I don't know if the Patriots are going to be able to come out and pull off an 8-minute drive like they did to basically secure this game. But they could. So I'm just guessing out of my ass. And I honestly desperately do not want to. Thank you. Put a little, I bleached it. I don't want the Patriots to win. So I have to pick that they don't win, though I could totally see them winning. My mind is split 50-50. I really don't have a feeling about it because Gurley hardly even played last week. Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
both.
Yeah. So if he comes out and he actually plays, we'll see. But I don't know. McVay seemed a little off. They kind of won that game off of one call and one non-call. Right. Cause there was also, as Lombardi said on the Good Ringer podcast, there was not only the pass interference, but then there was the interception that, really should have, I guess, stood. If I'm thinking of that right. But anyway, I'm going to pick. I think this game's going to go. I think it's the Super Bowl. And I think people are going to be jazzed. And I think it's going to get out of hand. And I think that the score is going to be like 34-43 Rams.
Oh, you snuck it. You went the opposite.
That's a weird score.
The lower score
34-43. Yep. I flipped it.
Yeah. Wow. I have this weird feeling. I mean, we've had a lot of overtimes, high scoring games. I think this game is going to go. I think the over under is 59. Last I heard, I think it's going under. I really do. I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle. Like you're 17-14. I couldn't go that low, but it wouldn't shock me. Kind of like when the Giants, like with the Giants and Patriots played their first Super Bowl in 07. It was. I think they scored under 20 points that game. I forget what the score was. 1960. I forget what it was, but it was lower than they thought because the Patriots that year had the high-powered offense, but the Giants' defense was unreal. The key to me, I mean, the Pats have one of the best offensive line coaches. Don't know his name, but I just know Brady doesn't get touched. Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, the Rams' front line. Is going to be the key because the Rams linebackers are probably their weakest part of their defense. And I know he's in the Super Bowl, but I still don't trust Jared Goff. He looks, I don't know. I mean, he goes back and forth with me. I mean, what an improvement he's made. I'm just like, but you know, they're in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, the kid played well against the Saints. I would think Belichick would have a plan, so I don't know. And I like not knowing. Last year, I kind of felt weird with the Eagles going on the run. It's the Patriots, but the Patriots defense was horrible last year. And I actually am shocked the Patriots did what they did in the postseason. I thought maybe the Chargers would have beat them.
I know.
Boy, was I wrong.
I mean, it just goes to show you that you just, it's like they'll play a game where they'll play horrible. They'll do the thing where they'll play horrible all September. Then they'll start getting a little bit better and better and better. This time, they just wait. They just literally wait. It was like the NBA. They waited until the playoffs.
I know.
Just like Brady, it was like they turned chilled. Gronkowski kind of chilled, you know. And then they just said – and then also the offensive line and defensive line. And then all of a sudden, they were like, okay, time to play. And Belichick was like, this is why we're here. And he's right because he has it down to a formula. It seems like every other NFL team has to have this. They have to feel like we're going to win the game. You know, like it's a story like the Eagles. We're going to win. Oh, we're coming from behind. We're going to win. And the Patriots are just like, we win. End of story. Winning happens now. You know, they're like Ivan Drago. and everybody else has to be Rocky, have this great story. The only story behind the Patriots, the only story there ever has been, is dominance. And I hope it doesn't continue, but I could honestly, I could see them blowing out the Rams. I could just see McVay and Goff and Gurley, just them running out of steam. You know, I could see it totally happening and them getting blown out. But then I could just see the Rams clicking and the Patriots kind of really falling back to what they actually are, which I think is what they were for 16 games. And then they just kind of score a couple touchdowns in the end, but the Rams kind of hold them the whole game. I could see it either way. Either way, I do have to admit that I'm looking more towards the Super Bowl as it gets closer, and I think it's going to be a great game.
Ditto.
Ditto, baby. All right, let's take a quick break for an ad, and then we're going to come back and do announcers. All right, Heath and I are having a blast talking some NFL. I just wanted to take a break to thank Cufflinks.com for sponsoring the show. They're going to be with us again for February. Like I said, starting out the month, I want to hear your ideas. DJ Tim Hines went over to Cufflinks.com and he found some cool stuff that he likes. What do you like? I want to do contests for people and get, I want to hear from the peoples what they like. Now, I know GOT is coming, so we're going to get some GOT stuff coming out soon too. But go over to cufflinks.com/DVR and tell me what you like and use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order, no minimum required. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Tell me what you like. Email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Now back to the show. All right, we're back from the ad. This is an email that Andy sent, and it's about NFL announcers. So, first he begins. And I'm so excited to talk about this with you two, Solo, because we never talk about this. Andy starts
I'm
the
excited too.
Yeah, the less said about pregame shows, the better. I try and watch them once in a while, and it usually lasts about 30 seconds before I have to put something else on. Solo, what's your thoughts about pregame NFL? Do you watch any of them?
I hate them. I don't watch them. I used to love them in the 80s and 90s when it was like Jimmy the Greek, Brett Musburger. Mm-hmm.
They talked about football.
When it was serious. Now it's just a joke. Like Fox, I mean, Terry Bradshaw is a... You know, Howie Long, Michael Strahan, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I like those guys, but I'm just like, it's the same every week. The pregames, they mean nothing anymore.
Yeah.
They really don't. Andy lasts 30 seconds. I last about 10 seconds. Whoa, kid show. Whoa. But no, yeah.
Don't tell
honestly,
Lady Solo
I don't
that.
Even, yeah, no. She'll be excited if it's 10 seconds. Jeez.
Oh, Lord.
No, but – no, kidding. You know, I'm joking, right, Axel?
It's at least 15.
I'm joking. 15. I'm joking.
I know. I know.
But,
I know,
yeah, they're the worst. I don't even watch the pregames at all. I sleep the extra hour if I can.
Yeah,
they're
me
awful.
Too, dude. I used to like them. I'd enjoy it if they actually talked about football. I don't understand, like, Rob Riggle doing all these weird things and then, like, Peyton Manning's brother running. I mean, the special interest stories, it's like, who cares?
Real quick, Axel, I'm sorry. Classic thing is they do the Rob Riggle. Like, they did it with, like, Jimmy Kimmel way back when, and they started this. But they'll do it, and then they have the shot of everyone at the desk, no matter how bad or good it is, they're laughing. Like, oh,
yeah,
oh that
oh
was
my
so
God,
funny.
I know.
Oh, it's so... So wrong.
Those shows are terrible, man.
Sorry to cut you off.
I was just stretching my legs a little. Yeah, those shows are terrible. I can't watch them. I wish that they were good. ESPN used to have some good shows. They used to have a show where I think it was Joe Theismann on Monday. I think it was – maybe it was called Monday Quarterback, and they would actually go over all the plays.
Yeah, Theismann did it. I think Ron Jaworski for a while was doing
Ron Jaworski,
it as well.
Thank you. And I loved that show, and then it went away because everybody has to yell on ESPN.
I know.
And you know, it's just annoying. I don't even understand what they are. Nobody watches them. Who watches these things? They're just there so they can be on at a bar to let you know the game's coming on.
Right. Now, there's a great show. It's very I'm not going to say nerdy, but it's called Edge NFL Matchup. But they show it like Friday or Saturday night. But they really get into X and O's and of the game. And I think now it's maybe Susie Colber. I forget who does it now. That one, they go literally go deep into just the X's and O's. And it's,
I like
there's
that.
No hoopla. But I don't know if anyone watches it, but it's been on for years. And that's more for the diehard, like, playbook stuff, not this, you know, 1 hour of, you know, Vin Diesel's promoting his movie. Let's get him on. And then, you know, CBS is just like the old man's, like, you know, give me the Ben Gay and you know, I mean, it's got, I mean, they're all like.
Oh, man, I had to wake up last night and put Ben Gay on my knees.
Ben Gay is good stuff.
Yes, I agree. And it's sad because it's a waste of time and it's a waste of people's energy. And I don't know how Jimmy Johnson became a big, like, McDonald's character, like the Hamburglar head or something. And I don't know what Michael Strahan is. Every football player has got some weird story. And then they trot them out and they do their sad things. It's like, it's just, it's really boring. And what I'd really love is the Rams are playing the Patriots. These are all the plays that the Patriots ran last week. Let's look at them and how the Rams could stack up against this. You know, let's look at what they did last. I want to see that. I want to understand how they've used certain players, you know, or made certain decisions that I want to see. But this stuff is just really annoying, and it just goes to show how I think football is like, I don't know, they've got all these new leagues coming out, and I feel like somebody could do it better. I really kind of do feel that way. Maybe not the actual sport part, but the other parts, they could actually kind of attract some people to it. Not the WWE one, but the other one that the NFL, I think, is loosely affiliated with. I think it's called like the American Football League or something, like back in the old days. But that one might be kind of interesting. I don't know. All right, let's talk a little bit about announcers, okay?
Let's do it.
And Andy broke it out to basically the people. And this is fun because we've been watching all season and we'll have something to say. Starting out with the best in my opinion and the best in his opinion, Romo and Nance. Romo is so refreshing to listen to. He's so knowledgeable about the modern game. They both really seem to enjoy what they're doing. That always goes a long way towards my enjoyment of a game. And I totally agree with that. Tony Romo is the best, not because he guesses plays, not because he has insight, though he does both. It's because he gets so excited and so happy when something happens, and then he goes, "Oh, Jim, oh," and it's kind of funny and cute, and he's just seems like the most fun guy that you want to hang out with. I love Tony Romo. How about you, Solo?
Of course, I love Tony Romo. Come on,
I know. I know.
You know, the. Unfortunately, the art of announcing has gone really downhill for many years. It's gotten worse and worse. And a lot of times they're employing a lot of these former NFL guys to be the color commentators, and a lot of them are just annoying. Chris Spielman's one where I loved him as a player, but he just annoys me. But if I saw him on the street, I'd be like, "Hey, brother. You were a great football player, but just not into the, I don't know. He's just, eh." But I think I have someone that I wish Romo was paired with, and it'd probably be my two favorite announcing tandem. That's the problem. I don't like, since Summerall and Madden, probably I don't really, there isn't the combo that I think are amazing. Though Jim Nance and Romo do fit well. And in today's day, that is probably the best duo out there. But I'm a big Al Michaels fan.
Yes.
And I just think if Al Michaels and Tony Romo were together, that would be so much fun. I think Romo would pick up Michaels a little bit and kind of give him his youth back.
And rib him. Rib him kind of. Yes. Yeah.
Because Al Michaels gets it. Al Michaels is one of the greatest of all time. And him and Romo, I think, would be phenomenal.
Yes, I agree, man. I agree. That's actually Andy's next one, Collins and Michaels. And I have to say, just about Romo and Nance, I agree. Nance is like a stock. He's good and he's fun. And and he kind of does, you know.
Yeah.
He's great. He does it very well. And Romo owes a bit of his success to Nance because Nance has provided the fertile environment for Romo to grow and feel comfortable about this new profession that he's doing. Exactly. Now, I know that both of us listen to the Bill Simmons and also the Cousin Sal, what's their betting podcast that they do?
Against All Odds.
Against All Odds, right. Take a Look at Me Now with Master Tate. And those guys are great. And I know that Romo practiced with them. Like they would sit and watch games with him. Like I remember Cousin Sal saying, like before it was even like a thing that Romo was going to retire and be announced. He's like, oh, if he becomes an announcer, you remember that? He would be is the best. Oh, I love sitting with him a lot. Didn't Cousin Sal like name his kid middle name Romo or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's crazy, dude.
Because they were saying, too, they were playing Madden football, and he was reading the defenses and all that on the game. You know, it's just like amazing.
It's so cool, man. He does it with such a joy. That's the thing.
And that's what you said.
He appreciates it. You know, like Romo seems like the kind of guy that if a defense got an interception off him by fooling him with a scheme, he would go back to the sideline and be like, oh, man, they got me. That was good. How did they get me? And he'd want to see, right? And he'd want to challenge himself the next time. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would have come back and be like, oh, I suck, or get all upset about it. He seems to have this like something which I like and admire in people, which is a willingness to be wrong, a willingness to learn, a willingness to take a chance, you know, and have fun regardless, you know, win or lose, you have fun. And
you gotta be able to shake it off and go out there because you have to go back out there. And if you're bummed out about an interception, there's a game against Buffalo. They threw 5 picks on a Monday night. They still won. Yep. I think that was in 07, and it was just one of those awesome, crazy dude. Games. And he even when he – it's a great clip, too, when he's announced, he's like, geez, I was terrible. Like, he admits it. No one ever says that, you know, in the right – he's like, I was awful. I can't believe we won that game. And, you know, he was just great. He just was honest. And that's what – you know, too many of these players in the press conferences, our team was great. We fought to, you know, blah, blah, all the cliches. Romo was great because he would tell it like it is, and that's what made him a great personality.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. But I do agree. Now, see, my favorite play-by-play guy is Buck. I love him. I love Joe Buck. I think that he has, ever since he – actually, I was talking about this with my friend Arif. Ever since he came out about his hair plug addiction, he has really opened up. And I don't say that as a joke because, again, the Bill Simmons podcast, because Bill Simmons loves this stuff, he did an interview with him and he said that. He said that once I admitted that to people, I realized how much I was trying to be like my father and be something I wasn't, like this prototypical announcer guy. And I just started being myself. And he's made Troy Aikman a billion times better. Like, I couldn't take Troy Aikman without Joe Buck. Like, I still like Aikman, but I love Joe Buck. But let me read what – let's go to Collinsworth and Michaels, and then we'll make our way down to Aikman and Buck. Andy says, Collinsworth and Michaels are hit and miss. Michaels is one of the best of all time. His play-by-play is second to none. They're good when they call games for teams that are on national broadcasts frequently – like the Patriots, Cowboys, Packers, and Giants. However, I think they struggle when they call games for teams that aren't used to the spotlight. They just don't seem as knowledgeable covering teams that come out of nowhere or aren't on national TV very often. I kind of question how much prep they do for games sometimes. Ooh, damn, Andy. When it's not a superstar team. But overall, I think they are pretty good. I don't know if I've ever noticed that. And again, that's because, you know, Andy is a fan of a team, the Vikings, that maybe isn't on national as much as your Cowboys, Jets seem to get national games, even though they don't deserve to get them. I don't know why they put the Jets on like all these Thursday and Sunday games this year, but they did. Maybe that's a different perspective. They're hit and miss for me because I love Al Michaels. I have absolutely nothing bad to say about him. I listened to his biography and it was awesome. And he's hilarious, and he's actually just such a professional. He's just a throwback, and he's like a national treasure, you know? The way some people feel about these baseball guys, I feel about Al Michaels. I love him. I remember watching him on my little 3-4-inch TV when I was like 11 years old, you know? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But Collinsworth is freaking annoying, man. He's so arrogant, and his Pro Football Focus or whatever his that he owns, by the way, right? Doesn't he own PFF?
I think so.
So it's like it has to be incorporated into everything, and they never explain. And then he's like, rah, rah, rah. And it's kind of funny. Al Michaels is good, but I agree with you. Romo would add a positivity that Collinsworth is like a freaking downer, bro. He doesn't make me want to see the game. Like, if it's not a good game, I agree with Andy on this perspective. I just think if it's not a good game, Collinsworth starts getting bored. And he's like, oh, the officials again, rah, 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 you know? And he makes Al Michaels more cranky.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm lukewarm with Collinsworth. The one thing I disagree, I think he knows a lot and he does do his research.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I don't agree with that, but because don't forget too, like when we have our teams and they're finally on a prime time and maybe it's not going well and they're bashing, we end up hating the announcers. I mean, I don't know if that's what Andy's doing, but yeah. I know I've done that where I've hated, you know, certain announcers because they've been bashing Tony Romo or something or Danny White on that. I'm like, oh, screw you then. I don't like you. But I could see, yeah, Collinsworth can get annoying. I'm 50-50 with him. Sometimes I like him. Sometimes I don't. But you're right. When the game gets out of hand, there was one game. I can't remember what it was, but it was like basically a quarter of – I mean, it was a blowout. And that's when they start to drift away.
Yes.
And start talking about other things. It's annoying. Can be annoying because they're in the middle of a play and they're like, well, you know, I had breakfast with, you know, Georgia Fontieri.
And it seems like it always annoys Al Michaels. That's what I feel like. I feel like Al Michaels kind of gets frustrated with Collinsworth. I just think it's kind of embarrassing – when announcers sound like they're – we'll get to the worst announcers in maybe the history of NFL ever later.
Oh,
but more Cowboys. But I just think it's kind of embarrassing. And I think sometimes Michaels and Collinsworth verge on that. And I really think they need to change it up. I think Collinsworth – would be better off with – I think they'd each be better off pairing up with a younger guy. I mean, I'm all about the NFL getting young anyway. I think the NFL all around is way too old from the owners to the quarterbacks to – that's why I love this new young players coming out. But I just think that they should kind of move on for that. Let's talk a little bit about Aikman and Buck. Is that all right?
Okay, let's do it.
Aikman and Buck, says Andy. I like Aikman a lot. Buck is a hard one for me. There are times when I think he's the best. There's times when I think he's the worst. When he just sticks to play-by-play, I think he's fantastic. However, other times, I feel he makes the broadcast about himself or gets a little preachy. I hate that version of Buck. He does kind of get in. He does get into a story. You're right about that, Andy. And I think that leads a little bit to a sense of preachiness. But I just think he's been funny lately, like, a couple times he like makes fun of Troy Aikman, you know, he'll be like, yeah, what do you think of that, Troy? And I just think I love that. And I just think he's kind of goofy and he plays with it. He modulates his voice weirdly. He takes chances with like going high sometimes, you know, and I really like him. And I just like that he's progressed, you know, because some guys I think get worse. And then you see so many announcers like just go away. And now they become like on the ESPN show, like Steve Young. What happened to Steve Young? He used to call a bunch of games. Now they stick him on the sideline. You know what I'm saying?
No.
During the halftime. Right?
Yeah, no. Steve Young was never, I don't think he was ever an announcer.
Didn't he? He did a couple games, didn't he? Didn't he do a couple color? Didn't he do color a little bit?
He might have early on, right,
maybe,
but
that's a bad example.
At least for the last 15 years, he's been in the studio.
Well, maybe I've been asleep for 15 years, okay, Solo?
Well, I've been asleep for 20, so.
Anyway, I just mean that sometimes these guys can come and go, you know? And sometimes they stick around too long, and there's only so many slots. That's the funny thing, right? Like, there's a lot of local guys and guys that kind of try to come up. But then you have guys like the next one he mentions, which is my favorite play-by-play.
Can I go?
Oh, yeah.
Go,
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Aikman, I forgot you. Yeah, let you talk about Troy.
That'd be
Aikman,
nice.
Who also, by the way, does – I got too excited, so I'm sorry. Didn't,
it's okay,
doesn't
buddy.
Troy Aikman always look like he's taking a shit? Like his face is just
probably
bulging. He's like, oh, Troy Aikman. Like it's just like
easy. It's my all-time favorite player.
Sorry.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy. Easy.
I like him. He's good.
Well, I'm going to talk Joe Buck first.
All right, talk to Buckster.
I couldn't stand him early on. Now I actually like him a lot. And a lot had to do with what you said earlier with him coming to realize I'm not my dad.
Yeah.
Let me just be myself. He came out. I mean, I remember on a Bill Simmons podcast interview, it felt like I got to know him. And I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's not a bad dude. I just thought he was a jerk and that I know everything and you don't. But I'll tell you, ever since he's been teamed up with Aikman and he's just, like you said, is himself, they both work well together. And you know when Aikman has the certain laugh, he's like, you know, a tough guy, he's trying to do his work.
Yeah,
he'll break out, and I like that. But Joe Buck is so knowledgeable, and I think a lot of his, like, when he was teamed up doing baseball with Tim McCarver, Joe Buck can call a baseball game better than anyone, but McCarver was so annoying. I think it almost rubbed off on him, and it kind of hurt him for a while. Now he's with Smoltz, and it's just so much more enjoyable.
Didn't he say
enjoyable.
On that Bill Simmons podcast that it was hard being with him?
I don't remember, but I
think
I
remember that, dude. I think he remembered just kind of saying, like, it was challenging.
Yeah.
That there were times when it was challenging for him.
Yeah, especially towards the end when McCarver doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about and Joe's got to ride the ship. The one thing I really don't like about my boy Troy Aikman, because he's a former Dallas Cowboy, he'll try to
He's tougher
he'll make
on the Cowboys.
Well, he's tougher on the Cowboys, but he makes other team play. Like one time, he's like Clinton Portis when he's playing for the Reds, the greatest running back ever. And like, he said this about Robert Woods, the Ram. I think he's the all around best receiver in the NFL.
He wants to prove that he sees both sides.
Yeah, and that annoys me. First of all, Robert Woods is a really good player. He's not the best overall wide receiver in the NFL. I would challenge Troy Aikman on that. And he's got more knowledge than me.
Yeah, he gets 100. Into, you're right about Aikman. He does, but I find this kind of cute too, which is he gets into it. You know, like when he's upset about something, he gets upset about it. When he's happy, he's happy. And he also, one thing about Troy Aikman that I want to point out is he always takes time to mention something he appreciates. He uses that word a lot. If you notice that, he says a lot of times, I really appreciate the way that they do, or this, they should appreciate that guy. Like, he seems like the kind of guy that understood that, like, special teams was important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he learned that from Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. I mean, he really did. I mean, That's the thing, was Aikman and Johnson were together. One of the reasons why the Cowboys, I mean, there was a lot to go on the Cowboys, but they were in sync. And then when Jimmy left and Switzer came in, he could not stand Switzer. And it was a lot of problems.
He was an idiot. Anyway. Switzer was an idiot, dude.
Yeah.
All right. So now Andy goes to, I also really enjoy Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts. They aren't as flashy, but that's what I love about them. They know their stuff and never outshadow the game they're announcing. I have to agree with you, Solo. Dan Fouts is like, sometimes he hits a groove and he's fun. But a lot of times he's just fucking crotchety old man and he annoys me. And he likes to go, oh, God, oh, you know, like he likes to do that a lot. I love Ian Eagle. He's my favorite.
Yeah, Ian Eagle's very good.
Dude, I grew up with Ian Eagle. I remember Ian Eagle when he was calling into the fan. No joke.
Wow.
I remember when they put him on late nights and I stayed up to listen to his first show. I loved him. He was one of the reasons why I kind of stuck with sports radio longer, was because it was getting out of control, you know, yelling and Mike and the Mad Dog, oh, Mike, oh, you know, all the fuck, you know, like pontificate, just yelling. And Ian Eagle was like kind of a voice of reason, you know, and he always took that kind of play-by-play approach to things. Like, we're going to look at the facts and this is what you know, and plus he's a Jet fan. I mean, he's admitted this. He's a Jet fan.
Oh, poor guy.
So I love Ian Eagle, and plus his name is Ian Eagle, and
not Ian Eagle.
No, it's Ian Eagle, and I can't remember his dad. I think his dad was a New York announcer too, if I remember correctly. I'm looking it up here now.
Yeah, but American Eagle.
Shut up! Jack Eagle. He was an actor. He was the Xerox commercial. The guy who does, oh, wow, he's really funny looking. Wow, that's funny. Okay, I'm sorry. What's up, Solo?
I just want to put my two cents in about Fouts. Dan Fouts used to be really good, and then what happened to his, his name, I mean, he was a great football player. I actually love Dan Fouts, but he's just because the lack of great announcers, he's still able to hang on. But when the Monday Night Experiment with Dennis Miller, I think changed him and he became more like defensive and like, it was rough. And I think that hurt him.
It's really sad, isn't it, Solo, that the choice always seems to be to make it less football. Like, they never make the choice like, hey, who should we put in the booth? You know what? Let's put a stats guy in the booth. Let's put a guy who is just knows everything. Let's put him in the booth. No, let's put Dennis Miller or let's put Rush Limbaugh on Monday Night Football. You know what I mean?
I forgot about.
It's so stupid. And really, they ruined Monday Night Football, and that's why the NFL spiked it. Well, it's also with the contracts.
Did Rush Limbaugh ever do Monday Night Football?
No. Yes.
My God, I blocked that from my memory, Folo. Yes, I totally forgot.
Yeah, this was he was conservative, but this was before he became, like, you know, present level insane. Right. You know,
I totally blocked that from my memory, Folo. Oh my God, you just opened up Pandora's box.
That was when it was kind of like he's just an act, you know, like when Bill O'Reilly came from Current Affair, right? Or whatever show he did. I can't remember. Like, people just thought, oh, he's not really this, you know, but then you'd be seeing. Yeah. But anyway, the point is, I love Ian Eagle. I wish my dream would be Romo and Ian Eagle, because they're young and fun. But Michaels and Romo would be great. Now, they can't do Romo and Michaels because Romo's CBS, Michaels
and Colin, if he had, if his contract was up, he could switch networks. I mean, Matt and Summerall did that. They went.
What's Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts? Are they CBS too, right?
They're CBS. So I guess technically, while under contract, Ian Eagle and Tony Romo could.
That would be great, dude. That, and if they did that, and that was Monday Night Football, That would be historic. And they brought it back. But the NFL doesn't want Monday Night Football to be popular anymore. For some reason, they want Sunday Night Football to be, but that's just
it used to be where you had games on Sundays and you had one game on Monday night. That's what made it so precious and so unique. Now we have football on Thursday. We have football, yeah, you know, Sunday night. We have football.
Well, they made
it's
a deal too when they made the deal to put the when they switched the network, right?
Excuse me.
Bless you. They gave them like worse games. There's like a story behind it. And I don't know, you know, the NFL is always messing shit up. I think the Saturday, I don't know, sometimes I think I'd wish that they just go back to, like, that they just do Sunday and Thursday and they eliminate the Monday night game completely and add some Saturday games here and there at night when college football's kind of over.
Yeah. What they used to have was the only Thursday games you had was Thanksgiving. You had Sunday, of course, and Monday. And then the last 2 weeks of the season when college was off, you'd have a doubleheader on Saturday.
But remember when they didn't have Sunday night?
Oh, yeah.
When we were growing up, there was no Sunday night football. No. The 4 o'clock game was over, and that was it.
Late 80s, early 90s, right? Yeah, I think TNT had it for a while, the Sunday in the 90s. TNT had Sunday night football, which is weird. When you think about it, I mean, now they get the
NBA.
And
it was the worst. It would be like, and tonight it's the Bills versus the Colts.
Oh, it'd be a Cowboys-Cardinals was a typical Sunday night game. You know,
a pivotal matchup. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry, Brett.
Oh, boy.
And DJ. DJ's a Buccaneers fan. All right, let's see. What else Andy says? Oh, okay. Andy says, I have a soft spot for Kevin Harlan. He's going, but that's basketball, right?
He's more Kevin. Yeah. I don't think Harlan does football. Maybe college. Does he do college? No. I mean, I know him now as an NBA announcer. Yeah. So.
My only NBA guy I was saying was Marv Albert and Wilt. Those were the only guy, or no, not Wilt. Clyde Frazier. Sorry.
Yeah.
There you go. Clyde Frazier. I was messing it up. Those are my NBA, but I stopped watching the NBA. So I can't speak about any other sport but football. But Andy says that Kevin Harlan was the announcer for the Timberwolves during the rise of Kevin Garnett and was responsible for him loving the NBA in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
But that's how I feel about Marv Albert. I loved Marv Albert. And actually, you know what? Kind of when Marv Albert went through his problems, remember the whole biting incident with Marv Albert?
Yeah.
That's kind of when I stopped watching basketball.
Yeah.
So, and Walt Clyde Frazier with the sliding and gliding, grooving and moving and all his rhymes and everything he'd do. Like something would be happening in the game, but he'd just keep on going with a rhyme.
It seems like in NBA announcing, they've actually have more like personality. They put up guys who don't necessarily belong, but they do make it fun, but yet they know their stuff. I don't know. It's kind of – there's a – God, I can't remember his name now. The Clippers announcer. He's got a white mustache. Jerry something. I was going to say Jerry Lawler, but it's not his name. He's like really good. Really good announcer. Anyway, damn it, I forget his name. I don't know if he's retired now.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Let's get to. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to say.
Oh, no, let's move it on. Yeah, we got to move it.
Okay, let's get to the worst. And Andy says this very well. You are correct about Widen and Booger. They are bad. They are horrible. Probably the worst ever. I've gotten to the point that if they're calling a game, I turn off the volume and listen to a podcast or play a game on my phone. They actually make me less interested in a game. The play-by-play guy is okay, who I can't remember what his name is. Do you remember what his name is?
Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tessitore. Yeah, actually,
he's more of a college guy. I like him in college. He's just a little too much for the NFL.
Yeah,
but he's good, but I like him in college.
You said it exactly, Heath. He's too bombastic. He's like a college band. You know?
Yes.
And that's not what the NFL is. You know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
One thing I wanted to say just about the difference between NBA and NFL announcing is NBA has a flow whereas the NFL is stop-start. So I think you could have a flow more when you're an NBA announcer.
You can keep talking
while things happen because it's just going to keep on happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the NFL, you got to be quiet and let them say, Brady drops back to pass. You know what I mean? Like you can't be talking. You know?
Yeah, that's what makes Al Michaels can do multiple sports very well.
Al Michaels could call Mike a Tirico game by himself. Too.
Oh, yeah. Al Michaels has done – I mean, he made one of the greatest calls in 1980, the Miracle on Ice. But, you know, he's done baseball. He could do NBA.
Anything.
He's great with football. I mean,
anything. He could announce this podcast. While we're doing this podcast, he could be like, then Axel's talking. You know, and it would be
Heath over – yeah, he interrupted Axel there. 5-yard penalty.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
All right. So he continues like you, I've been trying to figure out why the hell someone assumed Witten would be good. Then I started thinking about it. I'm pretty sure the national media is obsessed with the Dallas Cowboys. So I want to read this with you, Solo. Witten, Romo, Johnston, Aikman, all are color analysts. Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin, Darren Woodson, Jimmy Johnson, pre-postgame analysts. I get the Cowboys are popular, but come on. There are other former players and coaches from other teams. Let's hear their perspectives, too. 3! I agree with you.
There just might not be anybody good enough.
Yo, get out of town,
it happens to be Cowboys.
Dude. Get out of town. You know, I think that Dallas is kind of America's team. And also, think about those guys. It's like a bunch of them played together and then a bunch of them played together.
I will go through each one and give you my case of who should be on and who should be on. I know everyone hates the Cowboys. Okay, Aikman, good announcer, deserves a job.
Romo, great.
Daryl Johnson's very good.
He is. I agree.
He's very good. Okay. The Moose is good. Okay. Michael Irvin's on because he's fired up and he's Michael Irvin and got a personality. I can only take so much. I love Michael. He's one of my favorite receivers, but no. Him and Deion. That's definitely names, Cowboys. Deion doesn't know anything.
Yeah, and Deion is not – I still kind of feel Deion is as much of Falcons as he is Cowboys.
Yeah, he's totally a Falcon. I mean, he won a Super Bowl with the Niners and the Cowboys, but he's always been a Falcon. But, you know, anyway. Witten.
Woodson.
Now, this is where I will Witten. I love Jason Witten. He's my all-time favorite tight end, Dallas Cowboy for life, Mr. Cowboy. Not Bob Lilly, but the new Mr. Cowboy. But he's not a very good announcer. Put him on college.
God, he's horrible. He's so bad.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, he couldn't even get Juju Smith-Schuster's name right. Oh, Booger's on that. What is that thing where old people go on a thing and they go up their stairs in this seat and it rises up? That's what he does on the sideline. It is the dumbest thing. They should be fired. The producers or whoever should be fired. It's terrible. It's
horrible,
terrible.
Dude. It's horrible.
Monday Night Football's gone down the tubes.
They took him out for the playoffs and for the Pro Bowl. They put him in the booth.
I wonder why.
Worse. Witt, and he's like, Boog, Witt, Boog, Witt, Boog. Dude. I don't know about that, Witt. I don't know about that, Boog. Well, let me tell you something, Boog.
Basically, if you go into it, about 50% of the Cowboys who have been put on TV are – even they put on Emmitt Smith, who – again, love Emmitt Smith, my all-time favorite running back, but, man, he was bad on TV.
Yeah, and there's only
Eric Dickerson
so many
was
spots,
another one.
Was man, bad. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many.
Oh, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just get fired up with this. But, no, you guys aren't wrong. There's legitimate ones, and then I still don't know how Witten got the Monday night job without ever announcing anything. How?
Romo.
And you wonder
Romo,
why.
That's how.
Yeah, that's how. And it's sad because there is – you know what? It's very sad because there might be a guy who hasn't played football but is a great announcer right now in minor league hockey or minor league, you know, whatever, and will probably never get a chance till he's 60, you know, or not get a chance at all because – superstars. I mean, let's go back to announcing. Let's go back to people who know how to do it. We don't
went to journalism
we don't care
school,
anymore.
Who know how to prepare, who know how to do a show, who know how
we
to
we don't care if we know the name. We really don't. At this day and age, because, like we said, Andy, I do it. We listen to podcasts or music while we're watching games sometimes or playing with ourselves.
You got to bring us into it. Don't just put two people in there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think we just discovered that, and the world should know. Spread the word. Give other people a chance. We don't care about name recognition. We don't need a Dennis Miller on Monday night. Howard Cosell, that thing was magical. It was unique. It was prime time. It happened. Everyone's trying to recreate. And look at the Romo thing has gotten even better. I don't think they realize what they had. They gave him a shot, so they must have. And he's the number one CBS, team. But I don't think they realized the popularity. Yeah. I mean, it almost could have been hate because, oh, great, another cowboy on the air. And believe me, I understand. Now, Darren Woodson's very good. I like Woodson. He's not, in the studio. He knows his stuff and, I'm glad he's gotten a job. So 50-50 there. Yeah, you have the big personalities. I mean, Witten didn't really have a big personality, but just he followed suit and just unfortunately put him on college and I would enjoy him probably more.
Witten needed to learn. They should have put him – they honestly – what CBS should have done is said, let's put you on the circuit for the first year. You get used to traveling around. You get used to doing this. And I think that probably one of the things that we talk about when we talk about actors is also true with these guys. These guys know how to control a room. And I think Witten walked in there and kicked ass in whatever interview or first try he had. He had a lot of energy. And then I kind of think he might even have been better if Boog wasn't there. But when he says weird things like, I'm watching the game, and I think it was the Rams, and McVay did some kind of trick play or something. And he made it into a political statement. He was like, well, that was kind of a lefty play.
Oh, wow.
He said something like that. And then the other dude, Tessitore or whatever, was like, okay.
It didn't make any sense. He's trying to find himself.
Yes.
He's trying to find his rhythm. Joke. And Monday Night Football isn't the way to do it. You got to find yourself on a smaller platform.
Terrible. Now, I just want, before we end this great discussion, and I think I'm definitely going to put this show on Friday. This is going to be a great pre-Super Bowl show, man. So this is going to be our Friday show. But I just want to give a shout out to Tirico and to Gruden. Because even though people hated Gruden, and I know Tirico is not even doing really football anymore, is he?
No, he's on NBC. He's doing golf, and he fills in sometimes. It's too bad because I miss Tirico.
I guess they were together I think 4 or 5 years. They were together, maybe longer.
Yeah, because Tirico. Because when did Tony Kornheiser was on? Was he with Gruden and Tirico?
He may have been. Yeah, you know what I think.
And then
you're
got rid of Tony.
Yeah,
or was it? I don't remember. I know there was the threesome, and I can't remember if Tony was on with Gruden or not.
All I want to say is that there was about a 2 year period, and it was definitely not the last 2 years that Gruden called games because he sucked and actively he didn't want to be there. And you could tell.
Yeah, him and Sean McDonough didn't get along.
It was terrible. But when Tirico and him were doing it, they were having fun. He had that Romo spirit about him. It seemed like for a bit there, Gruden was actually interested in becoming a better broadcaster. Like he was kind of changing up. He was talking about things more. And Tirico's just the best. I mean, that guy can just do anything too. He can
facilitate so many personalities.
Yeah. He's kind of Al Michaels' clone, he can do anything. So those two, I do want to give a shout. I also want to give a shout out, of course, to me growing up with my favorite all time Monday Night Football announcer. Oh, and there goes my dog barking for him. Drunk Dan Dierdorf. The best. Whoa.
I like that. That was good. Your dog. Good.
Do you remember Dan Dierdorf?
Oh, yeah. Dude, there was a period of time where it was Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, and Dan Dierdorf.
Oh, God.
And they were, for a while, they were great. And then it just got bad. When Boomer, Esiason.
Oh, my God.
They were a couple years, like, they were good.
Yeah.
But then it got so bad. Dude, and then Boomer came in, and Boomer
was losing his mind. It was
Boomer and Dierdorf were fighting on they hated each other. And then when it went Michaels and Boomer, it was, I mean, oh my God, Boomer Esiason was awful.
Oh.
There's a great two announcers I really, well, I love the late Dick Genberg was great on NBC.
Yes.
There's a guy, he does a lot of college, his name's Brad Nessler. He's like my favorite. I love Brad Nessler. I don't know if he did any NFL, but he's more of a college. But he used to work, there's a color commentator. His name was Al McGuire. Do you remember him on NBC? There's a guy with a mustache. He was hilarious. Okay. Well, eventually Nessler, I think, Bob Greasy and Al McGuire did college, but it was a Sunday night where I can't remember who the, announcer was, but it was with Joe Theismann and Al McGuire. Then Al McGuire was on NBC as well in the 80s. He's just hilarious. He's a big Bills fan. I just loved him. He was just so much fun.
Yeah. Theismann was good too.
What's that?
Theismann was good for a time too.
Yeah, for a time. And then my dad, my dad said, look at Theismann's ears. They're really big. And I couldn't stop staring at his ears.
Anyway. Mr. Sentazzo.
Yeah.
That's the way he does it. All right, well, listen, Solo, this has been super fun. Andy, thank you for the email. We did have some feedback from DJ Tim Hines about football and announcers that I did not have an opportunity to read or to kind of integrate into the show tonight. But I did want to take a moment to say that DJ Tim Hines says Patriots 33, Rams 38. He says, it's been many years that I felt all playoff long that the competition has been solidly matched the whole way through. Once again, the legends return to the stage. I'm a football purist. I love the game more than any team or individual player. That's because he's a Bucs fan. It's so well constructed, so much like a battle, a live-action chess match. To see greatness is an honor. Seeing Brady and Belichick reach the bowl once again is welcome by me. Oh, no. But he says, I want the Rams to kick ass. I'm a defense first kind of fan. I love Donald and Ndamukong Suh up front. That's so nasty. I want to see them disrupt Brady. Good word, disrupt. Brady, that's fun football to me. It's football. I'm always in. Enjoy the game. That's all right, baby. I love it. And I didn't get a chance to read your stuff, but DJ does give a shout out to someone I want to announce. I should shout out to, which is Andrew Siciliano, who does the DirecTV Sunday NFL ticket. He's amazing.
Yeah, and look at his ears too.
I know, right? That's true.
But there's also on cable, like, since if you don't have DirecTV, they have a different guy on cable
who's really good. I think he's
I like him more. But I have DirecTV now, so it's been a few years since I listened to him. They're both great. They both do an amazing job for how many hours? 8 hours or whatever it is for them to do what they do. Man,
crazy dude.
But Siciliano's really good. I do like him.
Yeah. It's funny. I'll be watching football and I'll have like my friend Arif and Aaron on FaceTime, and I'm the only one who has DirecTV, so I'm hearing the other guy, Siciliano, and I'm always hearing the other guy's voice. And it's like a little bit different, and I'm like, it's so amazing that they do this twice. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a production every week.
Yeah.
But thank you, DJ. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everyone, for listening, DVR Podcast. And most of all, thank you to Heath Solo for giving me this time. We still got a True Detective podcast to record, which we're going to do.
I know. We got to get.
But this was awesome talking about football. I'm really looking forward to the game. And go to our Facebook page. All you have to do is guess what the score is, who's going to win, and you could win Millennium Falcon cufflinks. They're awesome. Go over there. Solo, I'll let you take us out.
In the dark days of December,
This is Howard Cosell saying the DVR Podcasting Network is amazing. You should subscribe as a Patreon. Thank you, Axel, and thank you, Heath, and thank you, Mr. Andy. Andy, great email, and we'll see you next time on the DVR Podcasting Network.